Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Brown is in for Alfred today. Alfred a little under the weather, so hopefully he feels better. I know Mark Schlereth, you better maybe throw a little disinfectant on that microphone, by the way, Chad.
I had it last week.
Okay. So you're immune?
I hope so.
Okay. Well, I hope that's the case, too. In terms of the... Let's just start with the Cincinnati Bengals. They are about as mediocre... Maybe I shouldn't call them bad because they have won 5 games in the NFL. I mean, that's hard to do. They started off 4-1, and they've, you know, crapped the bed basically since then. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games. They've lost 3 in a row. Of the 4 of their last 5 that they've lost, they have been blown out. 2 of those at home. Blown out. Out by the Chiefs, blown out by the Saints in Cincinnati, and blown out by the Browns of all teams. The Browns, who hadn't won like a road game in like 3 years.
35-20 is not a blowout.
Dude, it was 35-7, and the Browns just stopped playing. They put in Jeff Driscoll. There were a couple of athletic plays that resulted in touchdowns. The Browns defense got soft, and Mixon got loose for some, but that was a blowout. It was a blowout.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that wasn't like 2027 and or 2028 and was close. And, you know, here they are. They're driving and it's a crazy pick six for 35-20. No, it was 35-7. It was 28-0 at halftime.
28-7 at half.
28-7, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints game a couple weeks before that, I think it was like 35-7 at half, something like that. I mean, the Saints just, it was the bully beatdown. I mean, how do you want us to kill you? Through the air, on the ground? I mean, we were just going to beat the tar out of you.
At the end of the third against the Saints, it was 45-7.
Yeah, Drew Brees didn't even play in the fourth quarter. If he played in the fourth, it wasn't very much. Teddy Bridgewater actually got a bunch of action in that game. Jeff Driscoll played in that game, by the way, and actually looked okay. Jeff Driscoll is an okay-looking quarterback. He's an okay-looking quarterback. He's sneaky fast. He will run if you let him. And he's got a big arm. But he's still a backup quarterback. Joe Mixon's a good running back. Like, there's a lot of good running backs in the league. And Gio Bernard is now, I guess, a little older in his career as a running back. They've got this Erickson kid who seems to be kind of a dangerous punt returner. If there is such a thing as a dangerous punt returner in the NFL anymore. But other than that, because A.J. Green's special, but he's not playing. He's hurt. And I don't know. I think he gets more hurt as time goes on. Because if you're A.J. Green, why exactly would you want to play for this team?
Yeah, I think with the Andy Dalton injury, they're forced to look at the future.
Their coaching is abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their coaching is already terrible. And then they added terrible Hugh Jackson to increase the terribleness.
Just real quick about Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator. A couple of years ago, he was... one of the hottest defensive coordinator head coaching candidates in the league.
Well, so is Jeff Lazor, their offensive coordinator. Not so much now.
It's
the way it goes.
It's so weird. T. Martin, the offensive coordinator at USC, was fired today. They were talking about him being a head coaching candidate and the hottest coordinator.
That's who took the blame for USC today. I didn't catch that today. Yep. He fell on the sword, huh?
T. Martin was fired.
Three different coaches in USC were fired today.
Yes.
Oh, who else?
Defensive coordinator was fired.
Uh-huh.
Kenichi Odaizie, the defensive line.
Ronnie Bradford.
Colorado's own Ronnie Bradford.
Lynn Swann. So Lynn Swann stood up for the head coach.
Yes.
Yeah, it was T. Martin, Clancy Pendergrast, Ronnie Bradford, and...
Kenichi Odaizie.
Yep.
Show off. Pac-12 Network.
Sorry.
Yeah, because the rumor was John Harbaugh to USC is the head coach. They only kept the head coach, so he gets another shot there. What's his face? What's his name? Head coach, USC.
Clayton.
Right. The Bengals are a bad team.
No doubt.
And they're like, the Broncos are 5-6 and trending up. The Bengals are 5-6 and definitely trending down.
Well, when you lose five of your last six, that's definitely the arrows pointed down.
And by the way, the close game that they lost was to the Ravens, but they lost to Lamar Jackson in his NFL debut. So in consecutive weeks, the Bengals have lost to rookie quarterbacks, one of them starting for the first time.
And he barely passed. He just ran the ball.
Yeah. He actually, you know, he did basically, I think he had 27 rushing attempts. He had two last week, by the way. But when he did throw the ball, he was very effective throwing the ball as well. He was taking what they were giving him. If you're just going to give the quarterback all this ridiculous amount of space and you've got a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, just take it.
Who is their DC now that Terrell Austin's been fired? I know Marv probably inserted himself more into the...
I think that's the way it's going. And I think Hugh Jackson is having some influence, but it's a mess.
Did you see...
It's a mess.
When he got the interception, the Browns player... And hand the ball to Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, he accepted it and like patted the guy on the helmet. It's like, dude, the guy was just, he doesn't even understand when he's getting dissed. Like Hugh Jackson is just so out of it. He doesn't even understand when somebody's getting in his face. That wasn't a sign of respect.
No.
That was like in your face. It was one of the most in your face moments. And he pats the guy on the helmet.
And then there was
the, and he goes in for the bro hug with Baker Mayfield.
And Baker gives him the get away from me handshake.
Oh, my God. He just stiff-armed him. And Hugh reached out to, like, it was awkward because I think he was going in for the bro hug. And by the way, there were guys that did give Hugh Jackson a bro hug. But Baker wasn't going for it, so the best that Hugh could get was a head tap. It was like one of the most awkward interactions you'd ever see.
I think Jim Haslett, former head coach of the Saints, is now... probably the acting defensive coordinator over there for the Bengals.
So the Bengals are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos, I know, are a 3-point favorite. And I don't feel nervous about this game at all. Am I wrong?
I think you should be nervous just from the pure NFL anything can happen perspective. But to your point earlier, when we were going over it earlier, you should feel as good about this one as you have felt about any game all season long.
We'll get to linebacker updates because I think that's really interesting what's going on with the Broncos. But up next, it's our Game of Thrones, the House of Bolin, the latest next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Chad, it's time for Game of Bolin. Game of Thrones, Broncos style, and House of Bolin. We have a response from Bill Bolin to the response from the trustees. Bill Bolin through Nikki Javala at The Athletic. I'm a little surprised. The trustees are asking for a stay so they can go to arbitration with the league and on the controlling owner issue. Read my complaint. One of my objections is the way they've handled the controlling ownership issue. However, there are several other equally compelling issues in that complaint. No accountability for the trustees, breach of fiduciary duties, there are power of attorney issues, how the trustees obtained their current position, and the revocation of one of my brother's original trusts after he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Woo! So that is the response to what was going on over the weekend when the trust really pointed the finger back at Beth Bolin Wallace and Amy Clemmer, the two daughters Pat Bolin had with Sally Parker in his first marriage. And the trust was saying, listen, this is all about, you know, these guys over here and the NFL should arbitrate it. And why don't we just hold off on this whole Bill Bolin thing? Because that's not what really it's all about. So, is it an NFL issue or is it a family issue? That seems to be the case right now. However, Nikki's article says Well, really, both things could happen at the same time. The NFL could arbitrate this as an NFL issue, but the Bill Bolin lawsuit could continue at the same time as well. They're not necessarily independent of each other. Whew. Following so far with where we're at?
Yes. I got it.
So we'll see where this all lays out. We have a couple of new interesting characters. One of them is Rich Robinson. Welcome to House of Bolin, Rich Robinson. Rich Robinson is the lawyer who actually did the trust, wrote the trust in 2007 and 2009. And Rich Robinson said that in 2009, Pat Bolin was fully aware of everything that was going on. But there's a Woody Page article from that year where Pat Bolin admits to Woody that he's had some sense of short-term memory loss and that sort of thing. So what this may all boil down to, and Rich Robinson is not a medical doctor, Rich Robinson is a lawyer. So what this seems to me, Chad, to be melting down to is what was Pat Bolin's mindset in 2009 when the final version of this trust was actually finalized by lawyer Rich Robinson. There you go. So there's so many different ways this could go. Now, the Bill Bolin lawyers have 21 days to respond to the response of the trust, but they're not going to need that much time. And then after that, the trust has 15 days to respond, and most likely they will use all of that time.
I think the trust just wants to keep kicking the can down the road as far as they can.
That's right. That's the as far as we can go is fine by them.
Right.
They had a 21-day deadline, and they actually asked for an extension, a 7-day extension. So it's reasonable to say whenever the Bill Bolin lawsuit gets, when they respond, 15 days, let's get an extension on that, and probably push it into 2019. Does any of this matter? Well, probably in the long run, no doubt about it. But does it matter to this season? No. In fact, I would make the argument, because the Broncos are winning right now, this actually gets pushed to the back burner in terms of fans caring about it. Had the Broncos lost their past couple games and were sitting here at 3-8, I think fans would be more concerned about, you know, the status of everything, because Vance Joseph would be about to be fired if the Broncos were 3-8.
I agree with that. I think the fans should be concerned about the ownership situation, because it does have a day-to-day effect in the building. The owners who I've been lucky enough to play for, their presence in the building every single day meant something to the players, to the coaches, and to the locker room. Mr. Rooney being there every day until he went off to become ambassador for Ireland and his son stepped in, that made a difference in the Steeler organization. Mr. Kraft being in the 745 team meeting every day that he was in town with the New England Patriots, that made a difference in that organization. Those kind of things matter. Now, Paul Allen, rest his soul, was not an active part of the Seahawks organization.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Holmgren kind of ran that thing as he saw fit without any checks to his power. And eventually they had to pull his power back from him because he was unchecked and he was doing things that the ownership actually didn't want. So I think it does affect the day-to-day product. It does affect the wins and losses. And while your point about the fans' concern level based on the last couple of weeks of playing, well, I think is yes, it has moved this to the back burner. But I still think this is a very important issue that has to be solved sooner than later.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the time frame and the lawsuit will put more pressure on some sort of resolution sooner than later. So I used to think of it as a maybe 4 or 5 year sort of progression. And now it feels like that it'd be difficult for the NFL to ignore this throughout the course, complete course of 2019. You know, even if they do support the trust, which they definitely do, Roger Goodell definitely does. I think it's about that time that even Roger Goodell says, okay, I support what you guys are doing. It's time for you to tell me really what your plan is. Okay, one way or the other. And it appears through all these articles and everything everybody's writing, and what makes total common sense, is that Brittany Bolin is preferred by the trust in terms of inheriting the team in terms of who the trust may give it to. But you could make an argument with Brittany being 28, 29 years old. That would be the Broncos be better off if they were just simply sold to somebody who has more business type of experience.
Well, the trust said that Wallace lacks the business experience and acumen, knowledge, leadership skills, integrity, and character necessary to run an NFL franchise. I know a lot of 28-year-olds. I'm not sure if I know one who's capable of stepping into that role. So
difficult to imagine, yeah, for any 28-year-old, for anybody, yeah.
At the same time, I've also been around a lot of NFL teams.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, just because you got money doesn't make you have business experience, acumen, knowledge, leadership skills, integrity, and character either.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of clowns running NFL teams too.
Good point. The accusations of lack of integrity and character, you know, at some point, somewhere along the lines, they may have to prove that. I mean, if you're going to say it like it's been said, you may have to step up and detail that. And that's where this story probably gets one of its juicier moments once that has to happen.
Yes. Wallace replied, "The trustee's attack on my capabilities is a strategy to distract and deflect from the real issues, their questionable behavior, and the overwhelming conflicts of interest." So they're giving it to Beth, and she's giving it back.
On a messy scale, where would you put this right now?
It's pretty low messy because I think it's, you know, under the radar for most folks, but this is only going to build. This lawsuit with, you know, responses and now counter responses being required and deadlines and things like that, I think it's only going to get messier. But I would love to see the family solve this before the NFL is forced to step
in. Well, it sounds like that's where Bill Bolin was saying, too, hey, this is a family issue. It's not an NFL issue. We need to sort this out ourselves. And I think it could probably go away probably pretty quickly as well if that were to happen. We'll see. I think in terms of where we are, I'd say we're at like a 4.5.
I'd give it same scale.
Of where it could possibly go.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be resolved very quickly as well. And Bill Bolin's lawsuit could completely be thrown out for lack of standing. Like, who's Bill Bolin in all this? You know, he was a previous owner who got bought out in 2002, and he lives his life in Alberta, Calgary, Alberta, doing whatever you're doing up there in Alberta. You know, what intentions, you know, what do you have to do with anything?
I'm trying to get my brother's wishes to be complied with.
And there's the rub. And that's where it's open for massive amounts of interpretation.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my dad's wishes to be complied with.
That's where things could get super sticky. We'll see. I got it at about a 4, 4.5. You got it around the same.
Yes.
So there's lots of room to go and grow here. And we'll keep you updated as Game of Thrones House of Bolin continues.
Hopefully it doesn't get ugly. I that's my sincere.
Well, you don't think it's ugly right now?
It's not yet. As far as these kind of things can go.
It could be a lot worse.
There's a reason why there's shows called The Game of Thrones and Succession on HBO. Because they're not just fictitious stories. These things happen with powerful families all the time, all over the world.
Yeah.
Where it just gets ugly.
Yeah, I've had a couple of fans reach out. I'm so sick of this. I'm like, you don't get a vote. This is so outside of like your where you get to chime in or whether it matters. Like it's the one point where literally nobody cares what the fans actually think because those that are in the middle of it doesn't matter. You know, it's irrelevant. We are talking about an organization. Depending on who you read, that's valued somewhere between $2.5 and $2.8 billion. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, you'll go pretty ugly.
When we come back, let's get into the linebackers and what the Broncos have. The injury to Shaquille Barrett, what impact that might have, and what the Broncos could do, and what the Bengals are doing as well, which is pretty quirky. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
When you look at the numbers, Chad Brown in for Alfred, it doesn't look like Bradley Chubb and Von Miller had much of a game. And Vance Joseph said that Shaquille Barrett was the best pass rusher.
I agree with that.
Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 56 times. You would think in a game where the quarterback's throwing 56 times that Bradley Chubb and Von Miller are going crazy. So what happened there, Chad? Like, why didn't Shaq or why didn't Bradley Chubb or Von Miller have a better game? And why was Shaquille Barrett more effective than either of them?
As a pass rusher, sometimes it's just odd how you don't match up well with a particular guy. You know, for some reason, oh, I can beat Tony Baselli, but Stockton McDougal, journeyman from
the... who?
Stockton McDougal.
The guy's name was Stockton?
I believe so.
Okay.
Journeyman played, I think it was the Oklahoma Sooner, played, maybe with Detroit and somebody else. I played him twice in 2 years, and he literally shut me down. He was just the right matchup for what I had going, and I just couldn't do anything against him.
So maybe that was just it.
It happens. As a pass rusher,
it happens.
You are going to go against guys who are just the perfect antidote for whatever you bring. So unless you're Von Miller, and we saw that one snap where he got that tremendous jump on the ball.
He did. And I, you know, as soon as it happened, I'm like, oh, that's a flag.
Yeah.
And they didn't throw it, but I think that's a coin flip, whether they throw the flag on that or not.
Well, we've seen it go both ways.
Yeah.
And last year, it more often went against him than it went for him.
I mean, the TV broadcast, look at his reaction. But we've seen that same reaction and the flags go off.
But then I thought, Vaughn, when you're starting to go to that, literally risking...
A little desperate.
The offsides penalty, because everything else I've tried
nothing
has not
else.
Worked.
Interesting.
You are reaching deep in your bag of tricks, and you've pulled them all out. This is all I got left.
Interesting. Okay. Bradley Chubb, on the other hand?
You know, I didn't see Bradley as much. I'm going to assume it's the same kind of thing. And Bradley's a little bit of a, you know, he rarely beats guys just with pure speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually kind of the keeping the fight going. Eventually, he's able to kind of work his way back inside as the quarterback steps up in the pocket, and Vaughn's kind of forced that quarterback to step up. He just wasn't winning that fight.
I see the Bengals have moved Vontaze Perfect inside. They've had so many injury issues and so many issues. Their best pass rusher is now playing like inside linebacker.
No, but he's playing inside linebacker. That means he can affect both sides of the field a little bit more. So I found a Bronco out there. I got my head on a swivel, and I want to know where that guy is.
Okay.
Because you know he's got bad intentions.
Okay. Well, that's true.
He's got really bad intentions.
But I look at the linebackers, though, of the Bengals, and I think their best pass rusher is Geno Atkins.
Yeah, inside guy.
Inside guy.
Mm-hmm.
We saw inside guys wreak some havoc on the Broncos against the Steelers. We saw a couple plays where, you know, it was kind of ugly. That's why we wanted to talk to Matt McChesney to get a feel of what this new interior offensive line of the Broncos is actually all about. How do you feel about them? Turner, McGovern, Wilkinson.
No, I don't think they're world beaters. I think they are playing well together. I think the run game helps those guys. So much of the run game is such quick-hitting stuff. If you are a defensive lineman and you get off on the ball and you get a step up field and suddenly you're not able to lock out that guy and get yourself in a hole to be able to tackle Philip Lindsay, he's gone. So just simply the play of Philip Lindsay, the way he attacks that line, slows down the pass rush enough where I think that gives those three interior guys a chance to be successful.
Okay. So nothing to worry about with Vaughn and Bradley Chubb, just a bad matchup for them.
I'm going to chalk it up to that considering the success they've had over the last
Not
couple
an
weeks.
Injury or something else like that.
No, I didn't see Vaughn limping. I didn't see Bradley Chubb
okay.
holding his hand or his elbow awkwardly. Once T.J. Watt hurt his wrist, he was done for the day. And we see that with Shane Ray. It's hard to be a pass rusher and not use your hands. I didn't see anything like that from either one of those guys. So, I'm going to go with the more optimistic view that we have of the Broncos, I think, collectively over the last couple of weeks, and just say it was a matchup. And for Shaq Barrett, that matchup was in his favor.
Without Shaq Barrett, where are the Broncos?
Well, now you've got Vaughn and Shane Ray. As two of your three rushers. A little bit more speed-based guys. Not true collapse-the-pocket kind of guys. Von Miller, during that Super Bowl run, when he was just running through offensive linemen, we don't see that as much as we used to.
No, we don't.
Khalil Mack puts a hand in an offensive tackle's chest and just runs through that dude. We don't see Von do that. It's a lot more, I'm going to beat you off the snap, or I'm going to spin inside kind of, and that's about it. The true power seems to have left his game. Bradley Chubb brings a little bit more power, but he doesn't have that same speed.
Right.
And I think Shane Ray is a poor man's version of Vaughn as far as his ability to truly collapse the pocket. Doesn't do that very well either. He's more of a keep it going, keep it fighting kind of guy, which is, you know, something to be, you know, noted for. But it's not going to just crush the pocket when you need it in the fourth quarter to go out and close a ball game down.
What a difference a couple games make with VJ, Vance Joseph, and where you go from here. The story changes, it seems, week to week. We'll get your take as to where and why does everybody hate Vance Joseph? I was watching my man, Kyle Clark, and he does the next show. What's next, Kyle? There's next things going on out there, Chad. I love my guy, Kyle. Syracuse guy. Of course, great broadcaster.
It's what you guys do.
But he was pointing out how much everybody hates Vance Joseph.
They do. I don't think it's justified, but they do.
We'll get to why. You may have to just get over that. Coming up next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You're on the fan. Chad Brown in for Alfred today. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Super,
Zach.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to chalk up Von Miller's performance basically to a bad matchup. And even if that is the case, he needs to overcome that. We're paying him a lot of money. And if we want to make the playoffs this year, we need to see better performances out of him.
Hmm. All right. Wow, Zach. Cracking on Von, who's got 10.5 sacks this year.
Bottom liner.
I guess.
Wow. I mean, I feel you. You pay a guy lots of money, you expect him to be successful week in and week out, but unfortunately, that's just simply not the way it works at that position. You're going against guys who are, in some cases, outweigh you by 80, 90 pounds. The way the thing works, they've got the advantage. They know the snap count.
Did you catch the Von Miller stand-up routine? The On to Cincinnati stand-up routine?
I did.
What'd you think?
I appreciate it. You know, rather than get up there and gloat about, you know, two in a row. In your face! Two in a row, baby! No, you just, you know, we're on Cincinnati, keeping it low-key.
That's not what he's doing, though.
He's doing the Belichick.
He was doing a look-at-me sort of moment.
You think that was a look-at-me as opposed to let me try to downplay the last two wins?
Yes, definitely.
Really?
Yes, of course.
Could it be both?
No.
Okay, so you're Von Miller. You got a half a sack.
Wasn't your greatest day.
It wasn't your greatest game. You got a half a sack, but you know, you were really shut down for most of the day. You guys have won two games in games that were really, you know, in the balance until the end.
There's no doubt about that.
So is that the time to get up at the press conference and talk about your greatness or your team's greatness? Or you just say, hey, you know what? We're focusing on Cincinnati.
That's not what he was doing, though, dude.
And it was
a goof. It was definitely a comedic attempt, a goof. It wasn't about anything deeper than that.
I would say it was both. I think it was convenient.
You'd like to think it was both, but it wasn't.
It was convenient.
Now, most fans loved it. Most fans thought it was funny and whatever. But I know it did not go over well inside of the building because it's an opportunity to just... Vaughn is a public face of the team. Vaughn is the public face of the team. And there comes a certain amount of responsibility to that. And you may say, oh, D-Mac, lighten up, and you have no sense of humor and all that. I see where you're coming from. And it's not like the podium is some sort of sacred place, but it is different than just being at your locker.
But they're barking up the wrong tree if they think Vaughn is suddenly going to be some stoic leader of the football team. That's not his personality.
I know. That's not. You're right.
It's a jacket
correct.
That does not fit him. They're going to find somebody else and elevate that guy be that guy,
you
rather
know,
than asking Vaughn to change.
That's well said. And Vaughn's just being Vaughn. He's at heart, he's a really, really, really good football player who's a really nice guy and has a warm, loving personality, does great things in the community, especially with Vaughn's vision. And he's just trying to have fun more times than he's trying to be a downer. Right?
Yeah.
Is that fair? The problem is, that's just not necessarily the guy that is, like, the best leader for you. I mean, it's hard to find a DeMarcus Ware. You know, those guys don't come along all that often. It's hard to find the somebody that has the gravitas of Peyton Manning, you know? And that combination of, like, Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware together was just... It was just special.
But without Von Miller there, then the Peyton thing becomes overwhelming and overbearing. You need Von Miller throwing Halloween parties. You need some of that.
Well, I don't know if you need... Well, you need to have somebody have... I don't know if you need that Halloween party, a Halloween party.
My point is not specifically that party.
Do you know Peyton Manning used to organize the Halloween parties when he was here.
I'm sure it was a blast.
It was a more sedate affair. It was more... It was fun, from all accounts. It was just, it was different. It was more like we're in the Sheridan Ballroom, and everybody, I got a room for everybody tonight, and let's look at me in my Elvis costume.
It takes all kinds to make a successful locker room, and you need a leader, grinder kind of guy, a Peyton Manning kind of guy.
You know what you need? You need that person. All right, here's where I'll go with you. You need your quarterback, basically, to be that person.
Ideally, yes.
Ideally, yeah. Defensively, I know. I always felt we had that person with Elvis Dumervil. I felt we had that person with DeMarcus Ware, for sure. Felt like we had that person with Brian Dawkins and Champ Bailey. I think we've had those type of people, you know, over time. Who weren't you know, too tight or anything. They were up to having fun, but they understood the process and the times that the appropriateness for where they what they should be and how they should act, that sort of thing.
Are you saying they were the adults in the room?
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. They were the adults in the room.
You know,
you can't have all adults. I'll agree with you. It's no fun if it's like that.
One of my regrets was I was not more of a leader when I was a player, but that's not who I was.
Were you named a captain?
Yeah.
In Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Because you were the highest paid free agent and you represented the team.
Yes.
Would you ever have done what Vaughn did? So after a game, you're at a podium, you're not in your locker, and the media, who you deal with every day and you have a good relationship with,
yeah,
which Vaughn does, by the way, they all love Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Vaughn gets treated great by the local media. Great. Would you have done... I mean, I know you're goofing on Bill Belichick. I get it. We all get it. We understand the joke.
It's timed up perfectly. You won two in a row. You can have a lighter moment. You're playing the Cincinnati Bengals. You can play off the Belichick thing.
But you do realize that the 9 or 10 people in that room, you know, they've got a job to do too, right?
Yes.
Or not. Or they're okay to be there just for your punchline.
Then that becomes the story that they write.
That's right. And that's what happens.
Yes.
So if you go on to ESPN.com the next day, even though Vaughn had a, you know, pretty mediocre game on the field, there he was.
Would you rather see him up there breaking his arm, patting himself on the back?
Not him. But it'd been a good time to talk about Shelby Harris. Good time to talk about Bradley Roby bouncing back. Good time to, you know, throw some praise on some other folk. In my opinion. That's just me. Would you have ever done that?
Yes.
You would have done what Vaughn did.
Given the circumstances, I think so. It would.
Did you ever try to, you know, crack comedic post game after when the reporters are coming to you?
I wasn't a podium guy.
You were the captain of the team.
We didn't do podiums back when
you
I played.
What?
That's how old I am.
You know what? I would say that get rid of the podiums. I would actually. That's where I would go. Just forget it. We don't need the podium. I don't know why they even have the podium. I think you need the podium for the coach, because when else are you going to talk to the coach?
Right.
Right? Aside from the coach, forget it. Everybody else, just talk to him at their locker.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think that would be... The whole process is kind of silly. The whole podium thing after the game anyway. Sometimes they think, oh, there's a guy like Shelby Harris So instead of having 30 people around Shelby Harris, it's easier to get him up to the podium. So maybe that's the case, right? Like, okay, fine. You know, there's a star of the game. There's an obvious, like, star of the game, right? But everybody else, just talk to him at their locker. Like, that's it. That's enough.
Yeah.
No big deal. No whoop. It's fine. Well, I'll be okay.
Looking back, I was requested to the podium a few times. Like, no, you can just talk to me right here.
Okay. So you turned down the podium?
Yeah.
Okay. People are going to be ripping me for just being way too uptight and that sort of thing. So that's fine.
Stay off my lawn.
I just think there's more moments that Vaughn, I don't think he's been the total, as good as he is, as great as he is, and he is phenomenal, future Hall of Famer. I think there's another level for him to go to.
Player-wise or leadership-wise?
Both. Both. I hope both. I could be wrong on that. Because player-wise, I don't know, you top out at some point.
Yeah,
so it's an interesting moment.
He's not getting any younger. So the player thing...
Do you think he's topped out player-wise?
I think so.
Really?
I think he'll gain more knowledge and nuance, but from a physical specimen standpoint...
You think he's maxed out a little bit? There's something missing.
Yeah, but it's not like some huge negative because you make up for it with age and wisdom and experience.
You think Khalil Mack's better than Vaughn?
As a physical specimen right now, yes.
As a outside pass-rushing linebacker.
Yeah, because Khalil Mack can put his hand in a lineman's chest and run right through him. Vaughn Miller does not do that anymore.
Let me ask you a tough question then. If that's the case, and they just traded Khalil Mack, and you say Vaughn could be... have peaked and maybe going down a little bit?
No, I'm just saying as a his physical skill set... is not going to continue to get better from this point.
Do you think he's hit the top of his game or there's more to go?
From a physical standpoint.
Because it's clear there's more to go for Khalil Mack, which is amazing, right?
But my point is you can still get better as a player as Tom Brady has gotten better as a player as he's gotten older.
Broncos go 8-8 this year.
Uh-huh.
Case kind of struggles. They go 3-2. Would you trade Von Miller?
And you got Bradley Chubb?
Think about it. We'll come back. We'll get to it. Some of your calls, your texts, that's happening next.